The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning! Warning!
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger! Danger!
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters
to the danger zone. Oh yeah, we're headed for trouble, and then we're going to steer you clear of it. Although today, maybe we are not necessarily steering you clear, because today with David Trainer from New Constructs, we are reviewing, well, you can't call them the highlights. That was last week's picks. These would be the lowlights. These would be the things where, well, when we talk with David Trainer each week, we're always saying, what would the catalyst be? And he always says, that's the tough part. I believe that the securities going to go down. I can give you a value I think it's actually worth, but I can't tell you necessarily why it's going to go down or when that catalyst is going to come to roost. Well, this is where we take a look at some of those stocks. Now, New Constructs evaluates securities on a scale from most attractive to most dangerous. If you want to learn more about the dangerous stocks or the most attractive stocks, go to newconstructs.com. You can also follow the company on Twitter at New Constructs. David Trainer, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
So we don't ask for one specific today. We're going to cover a couple, but let's look at some of the picks that we could say in the context of 2015 you were wrong about. But I know that what you actually believe is you were early, that trouble's still coming, I imagine, for some of these. It just hasn't gotten here yet. So who falls into that category?
There's several, but if we're talking about lowlights or highlights, I have to pause just to mention for 1 second SolarCity, a danger zone stock, which didn't do so bad last year, but has been down 20%+ just this week for a catalyst that we named actually finally coming true. So that's my last highlight. Now I'll get back to the real stuff, the low lights.
Yeah, the answer is if we had done low lights 2 weeks ago, SolarCity might have been in the low lights, but this is how this changes. It's a good example of how things change.
Exactly. That's perfect. Perfect segue. I like that. Top of my list of lowlights has got to be Netflix. It was up 81% last year, while the S&P was up 1% from the last time we published on it.
But you and a whole bunch of people who have been guests, I mean, it was the sell of the week just a couple of weeks ago with a different guest, don't like Netflix. Have you been wrong with Netflix, or have you been early with Netflix?
We've been early. It's a joke almost. I mean, the current stock price implies something like nearly 30% compound annual growth in profits for almost 20 years. That effectively implies, you know, at the end of that time frame, they'd have about $804 billion in revenue, which at $9.99 a month per subscriber would mean they'd have to have 6.7 billion individual subscriptions. Now, one of the things that one of our analysts reminded me of in the last week or so is that very few people pay full price for a Netflix subscription. I mean, these guys got, you know, they got three buddies from college. They all use the same one, right? So 6.7 billion is a big number, but I would have to say you actually have to divide the global population by, I don't know, knock off 20-30% just to be conservative, to really count the number of potential users for Netflix. And when you do that, you look at 6.7 billion. Basically, what I'm saying to you is that the current stock price implies that Netflix will dominate the world and everyone will be a Netflix subscriber and pay that for that. Just nothing reasonable about the valuation. And then the competitive position of the company just continues to erode. There's no differentiation. Their costs are rising faster than their revenues. They're not making money. International subscription, they're not growing as fast. They're not making money on any of the international subscribers. This is one of those things that we'll look back on, and I don't know, it might be a month, it might be a week, it might be another year. I don't know, but we'll look back and say this is one of the most overvalued stocks of all time.
it is the N in the FANG stocks that has certainly pushed it along. And that has probably made it that it can keep going even when things look dangerous. What else was one that you missed on last year?
Wayfair. It was in the danger zone on March 30th, and it's been up 42% while the S&P was down 2%. We weren't the only guy short. You had Andrew Left of Citron Research, and Whitney Tilson announced that it was his largest short position. And again, nothing's really changed here. You know, people focus on non-GAAP earnings, which it's like an adjusted EBITDA, and it's not reflective of not even the accounting profits, and much less the economic profits. It's got a negative 77% return on invested capital. It's competing with Amazon, an overstock, and its valuation implies that it gets immediately profitable because it's highly unprofitable now, with a margin similar to Amazon, and then grow revenue by 30% compounded annually for 14 years. At the end of which point, it would have revenue equal to about Best Buy or more than Nike.
That's Wayfair. Who else was another one that you were on the wrong side of last year?
Athena Health, up 26% from the time we put in the danger zone to while the S&P was down 2%.
Again, similar situation where you still believe you were early?
If anything, the case has really only gotten stronger in terms of, you know, look, Athena was a profitable business at one point, but then when some of the big competitors noticed that it had a profitable business, like Allscripts, you know, their profitability went down the tubes. And at the same time, in 2013, they had a reassessment report that the people that adopted Athena products had failed to produce savings and had mixed efficiency. And in the years following that, you know, like a couple of years, you know, revenue growth has declined. The return on invested capital has gone to zero. And yet the stock was up big last year. They don't really have a differentiated offering. They're going after customers that aren't that profitable to begin with. If they try to go after bigger customers, they get their teeth kicked in by bigger players. And so it's kind of like Square in the idea that, you know, you really only have unprofitable customers to go after. We don't understand. Look, I talk to hedge fund guys and our clients all the time, and I haven't found anyone who can make a good case for this stock.
Anything else sort of stand out to you where you're looking back going, this one didn't turn out the way we expected?
Yeah, you know, Jarden Corporation. It was put in the danger zone on October 26th. It was up since that point. It's up 21% while the S&P was down 1%. And what I'm seeing here with this, and we also put that acquisition between Newell Rubbermaid and Jarden in the danger zone. And what I'm seeing here is in some ways a little bit of a replay of the Men's Warehouse acquisition, right, where you've really got two bad businesses getting together, like Men's Warehouse and Joseph A. Bank. Neither one was profitable. One's overpaying for the other, right? Newell overpaid for Jarden. And there's a lot of hype because you got some big insiders like Bill Ackman, right, who's a Jarden investor, right? And, you know, by the way, Jarden also uses non-GAAP earnings to measure executive compensation, which is a huge red flag. And Newell does too. And the acquisition allows, I think, both companies, but for sure Newell, for the executives to meet the performance benchmarks. Even though the acquisition is negative shareholder value creation, it is positive executive compensation creation. Anyway, you know, this is one of those where I think you got to really be careful. The big insiders, just like the Men's Warehouse was such a joke, right? It rallied like crazy around the Joseph A. Bank acquisition. And it's because you had a big investor in Men's Warehouse, who's also an investor in Joseph A. Bank. You know, he made out like a bandit, and investors a few months later were left holding a bag of nothing. The Jarden and Newell situation looks like a similar situation.
The ones that got away, but they may come back this year, sort of the way we just saw SolarCity do, exactly as you pointed out. Netflix, Wayfair, Athena Health, Jarden Corporation. They didn't prove to be dangerous stocks in 2015, but as far as you're concerned, they're still in the danger zone. David, always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for taking time out to join us on the show.
Great being with you, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is president of New Constructs. NewConstructs.com on Twitter @NewConstructs. Up next on the Martin Luther King Day edition of Money Life, Jeffrey DeMasso from Advisor Investments. Stay tuned.